Now you can feel like you're in the audience at the Ed Sullivan Theater with official Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise at ParamountShop.com. Shop t-shirts, mugs, accessories, and more. And Late Show Poncho listeners can take 20% off with code TLS20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show products with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you, everybody. Please have a seat. Welcome. Welcome, one and all, in here, out there, all around the world, to The Late Show. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert. Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, we are now 9 months away from the 2024 election. Be sure to have your affairs in order. With Trump's nomination in near certainty, the MAGA mob is now turning their focus to their leader's last remaining political rival, Taylor Swift. Apparently, Donald Trump and his allies are freaking out over reports that Joe Biden is seeking an endorsement from Taylor Swift. Come on, Joe. No, ladies and gentlemen. Come on, Joe. Seeking the endorsement of a pop star, don't you think that's beneath the dignity of the office of Taylor Swift? She has to have standards. Tay-Tay did endorse JoJo back in 2020, and her support this year could be huge. The size of the hugeness, large. Just last year, a single Instagram post of hers led to 35,000 new voter registrations. That's impressive. It's amazing. That's power, okay? Yeah. It explains the strong finish for write-in candidate. Give her scarf back, Jake. Now, reportedly, is this true? Reportedly, Biden's team is also brainstorming ways to get the attention of Taylor's fan base, including potentially sending the president to a stop on the Eras tour. Oh, that would be fun. I wonder what era he'd dress as. I'm gonna guess Mesozoic. Of course, we can't even fantasize about Joe Biden screaming out the bridge to cruel summer without Donald Trump ruining it. Because Trump is jealous now and privately claiming that he is more popular than Taylor Swift. What? More popular than Taylor Swift? That is insane. Can you imagine Trump selling out stadiums in Tokyo? Konnichiwa, Japan. I love your beautiful country, but I have to say, your filet of fish, frankly, undercooked. No breading. And there's no breading. Where's the tartar sauce? If that's not ridiculous enough, he's also claiming that he has more committed fans than Taylor does. Well, to be fair, in the last 3 years, about 500 of his fans have been committed to jail. And reportedly, sure, jail. Evidently, Trump has been stewing about this for a while now. Last month, he said it obviously made no sense that he was not named Time Magazine's 2023 Person of the Year instead of Taylor Swift. Yeah, what is the friggin' F time? I am way better than Taylor. Don't they know it's me? Hi, I'm the problem, it's me. Don't they know at this point? I'm just, look, you look at a problem, you got a problem. And it's me, okay? It's the problem, it's me. Also, I have bad blood. Specifically, it's chunky. Dr. Ronnie says, my blood type is Italian wedding soup. Well, as Taylor would say, haters gonna hate. And no one has more hate than Donald Trump's team, which is now pledging a holy war against Taylor Swift. Oh, come on. You can't have a holy war against an actual angel. Taylor is a being of pure light and goodness sent from heaven to write devastatingly relatable breakup songs. But you know they're gonna try. It's gonna be the most intense conflict between a politician and a pop star since Reagan said this.
Mr. Gorbachev, Please bomb Huey Lewis.
Now, Trump's allies are taking their holy war to the MAGA Mecca, Newsmax.
I kind of have a problem, though, with the hardcore Taylor Swift fans. They are totally over the top, worshiping this woman. I think what they call it is they're elevating her to an idol. In fact, if you look it up in the Bible, it's a sin.
Yeah. Stop worshiping false idols and buy yourself a piece of Donald Trump's old suit. Wow. Look, I'll come out and say it. I'll say it. I don't care who knows it. I'm a hardcore Swiffer. Okay? Hey. I'll go so far as to say I'm a wet jet. Taylor is one of the few joyful things we have in this country, and I'm not going to stand here and let Trump's TV goons drag her into the hell slop of grievance and hair gel. This country dumped Donald Trump, and we are never, ever getting back together like ever. You know what I'm saying? So, MAGA, keep Taylor's name out of your dirty little mouths, okay? Stick to your own global superstars. You got plenty of them, right?
We don't have a Taylor Swift on our side, but you know who we have? We have Kid Rock. We have Ted Nugent. We have influencers, right? We have all these people. John Voight.
Yeah. Yeah, we may not have puppies and ice cream, but we have a 3-year-old calendar and a Ziploc bag full of toenail clippings. Now, Tay-Tay is not the only celebrity making headlines out there. So is Sesame Street resident Elmo, seen here realizing the Emmy's red carpet is made of his mom. I know, it's sad. No, I agree. It's sad. On Monday, Elmo posed an innocent question to his followers on Twitter.
Elmo is just checking in. How is everybody doing?
Oh, Elmo, you sweet, innocent furball. Twitter isn't about sincerely reaching out to others. It's about paying $8 a month to be called a libcuck by a guy named Diarrhea King 69. Elmo's tweet got tens of thousands of reposts and responses like, Elmo, I'm depressed and broke. Elmo, I just got laid off, and every day is like Big Bird crapped on me. It's an even more disturbing image when you remember that Big Bird is flightless. Now, not all. It takes effort. That's what I'm saying. That takes effort. Not all the responses were depressing. One user just said, hit this blunt, Elmo. Come on, Elmo does not smoke weed. Elmo is 3 years old. You're thinking of Cookie Monster. Elmo responded to this outpouring of sadness by saying,
wow, Elmo is glad he asked. Elmo will check in again soon, friends.
Are we all now Elmo's oversharing coworker?
Wow, the divorce thing sounds tough. Anyway, Elmo was just asking if you were going to use the printer. Okay.
Things are still heating up down there on the Texas border, where Governor Greg Abbott is defying the federal government. And Abbott's supporters are currently on a road trip from Virginia to Texas for some vigilante border justice as part of a group they're calling God's Army. Not to be confused with God's Navy, these adorable ducklings. Yep. Today is day 3 of God's Army's march to the southern border, and we are learning that things have not gone well. First off, organizers claimed up to 40,000 trucks would be joining, but by yesterday, the convoy was 20 vehicles. So, less a convoy and more the funeral procession of a moderately beloved grandma. Take a look at this mass uprising. Their story shall be told in the new movie, Sad Max. Now, the lack of numbers is not their only problem. God's Army rolled out Monday morning, and almost immediately, one of the vehicles got lost. Which raises the eternal question, why does God let funny things happen to confused people? And is this true? We're now 2 weeks away from Super Bowl 58, which will be right here on CBS. And, of course, you'll all be watching. But after the game, stay tuned for a nearly live Late Show Super, Post Game Super Show Super, okay? We had an extra super, so we just jammed it in there at the bottom. This year, the big game is in Sin City, but it might not feel like it for the players because it was just announced that the NFL won't allow Super Bowl players to gamble while they're in Vegas. Wow, that's going to be hard. If you think the players will break that rule and gamble anyways, then place your bets on DraftKings. New customers bet $5 and get $50 in bonus bets and a new unscratchable spiritual itch. DraftKings, it's never been easier to lose your house. Speaking, how we doing? How we doing? Oh, speaking of gambles, there's been a major medical breakthrough thanks to Tesla and SpaceX frontman Elon Musk, seen here successfully imagining the sun with boobs. On Sunday, was this just Sunday? Musk's Neuralink implanted a brain chip in his first human subject. It's a milestone that will one day result in the first brain recall. Now, it's hoped that this implant could help people with major spinal injuries, which is fantastic. And if it succeeds, the device will also be able to interpret a person's neural activity so they can control external devices such as a smartphone or computer with their thoughts. Finally, a revolutionary step toward mankind's greatest achievement, opening Pornhub with your mind. Billy, what are you doing in there? Not now, Mom, I'm thinking. Anyway, Billy, we got a great show for you tonight.
Coming up, Demi Moore.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, my first guest tonight is a Hollywood icon you know from Ghost, A Few Good Men, and G.I. Jane. She now stars in Feud, Capote versus the Swans. Please welcome Demi Moore. Look at that.
Wow. What an audience.
Well, you don't get a Demi Moore every night. In late night. Thank you for being here.
It is my pleasure. This is so great. I'm so happy to be on.
Well,
here.
I'm happy to have you on. I want to read a quote that we found.
Okay.
that you said in 1991 in Vanity Fair. This was the You Pregnant the cover. Very,
okay.
Very famous cover. You said in that interview, quote, "My career has been very slow. I'm certainly not jumped into the superstar crowd. I don't know if that'll ever happen." Spoiler to your 1991 self, that happens. What do you think, when you look back, like, is there anything you want to say to that person on the cover of Vanity Fair? By the way, if you're on the cover of Vanity Fair, you're in the superstar crowd. But anything you want to say to her about the breadth of your career, like what she has to look forward to?
I would say that you should always play the long game. It's not about, you know, just any one thing that you're doing. But I think when you're young and you're just trying to kind of, you know, see where you can go.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't yet know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think it's just, it's really, what I would say, it's the journey, not the destination.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, I want to get to a feud in just a moment. But first, I have to ask you about something far more serious.
Okay.
Can you explain this headline to me? It's from my first news source, Yahoo Life, and it says, "Pilaf Moore is the real star of Fashion Month." Can you explain to the people?
Fashion Month. Wow. Yeah.
Who is Pilaf Moore, and why is she the star?
Well, first
star?
Of all, Pilaf, the little mouse, is a star.
Okay.
She is a pound and a half.
So this is your dog. This photo here?
This is my little teeny tiny companion. That is her.
There you go. There's Pilaf.
She is a treasure. She's like my little extra heart.
Wow.
She is. At a pound and a half,
it actually might be lighter than your heart. Yeah. Well, let me ask you that. I understand that you suspect that this beautiful dog, Pilaf, your extra heart, might be a record-setting dog. What do you mean by that?
Okay, so we looked into this because she literally is like the size of a guinea pig with legs and a tail. And
guinea pigs also have legs and tails.
Yes, but
not to steal Pilaf's thunder.
Okay, but you have to understand, in the Guinness book, it's about height.
It's not the lightest dog.
It's about height.
Oh, okay.
So her legs, which are kind of supermodel long, did not fit as the smallest dog. So there is another one that is shorter.
Because Guinness says, yeah, there's another dog named Pearl.
Pearl.
That is slightly smaller.
Yes.
Yeah. How does Pilaf feel about that?
Well, I think that she and Pearl would be fast friends, but I think that she does feel that, you know, that she's perhaps better appointed.
Does your dog have bigger breasts than the other dog? What are you saying? Better appointed, what does that mean?
You know, just her overall, she's just perfectly proportioned.
Wow. Wow. I hope this doesn't come out wrong, but Pilaf sounds like a bitch.
Of the best kind.
Of the best kind. Okay. I want to ask this. I was really hoping, could we meet Pilaf?
I mean, she's watching me right now.
Could we go get Pilaf out here? Here we go.
You ready?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Here she is.
Oh, my God.
Hi. Here, she'll come and say hello.
May I? Hi. Oh, look at that. Does she like strangers, or is she going through a moment of stark terror
right
now?
Here, let's wipe your nose, just because it's a little cold in here.
Oh.
Hi, Mouse.
Oh, my God.
She gets cold a little easily. That's what the shaking is.
There you go. Oh. So, I don't actually want to talk to you anymore. I want to talk to Pilaf.
I mean...
you're nice and everything, but you're not potentially the world's smallest dog.
And the truth is, I am her accessory.
Oh. There
Come
you
here.
Go. Go to
Come
Mama
here.
Right there.
Come here. Oh. Woo. Whoop. There we go.
Oh, does she need some... Well, I got some water for her right
I mean,
there.
if you wanted her to go swimming...
There you go. Oh.
Okay.
We have to take a quick break. Please don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with more Demi Moore, everybody.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
We're back here with the star of Feud, Demi Moore. Okay, I need to ask you about Capote and the Swans.
Okay.
Okay, so I know who Truman Capote was. Who were the Swans?
So the Swans were a group of the social elite, all very wealthy women who were the trendsetters of that time, fashion icons and...
all Manhattanites. This is all New York?
Generally, yes. Yes.
And what is the fight between Truman and the Swans?
So Truman, in his later years, when he was not so healthy, he was having a hard time with drugs, alcohol, and had promised a book called Answered Prayers. And in this book, he writes about New York society, and he uses very intimate stories that have been shared by these women who have befriended him.
Does he identify them? Is this fiction, or is he identifying them?
It's definitely... He changes the name, but not enough that they don't know. So the feud essentially is that they let him into the inner circle, even though he was a bit of a court jester for their entertainment, and betrays them. And so they set out to crush him. Now, my character, though, Anne Woodward, was never accepted into society. She married into it. And I'm kind of his first target because I accidentally killed my husband.
How? How did you accidentally kill your husband?
It was a late night. There was a burglar in the area, and they were sleeping in separate bedrooms. And she thought it was a burglar and fired a shotgun. And in my research, she did, in fact, it was an accident. But Truman set out to basically refer to her as Bang Bang the Murderess.
We have a clip here of your character, Woodward, confronting Truman. Anything else we need to know about the setup?
I think that this woman really did lead a very sad life. And at this point, he's about to release in Esquire an excerpt of his book that is about Anne's situation with her husband. And I think it's kind of the nail in the coffin. And I think she's just at her end. So that's pretty much set up.
Jim.
You're telling people that I murdered my poor late husband? That's slander and libel. And you're telling people it's in your new book?
Well, if it were not true, it would be libel, Anne, but it is true. And we all know it. And it will be a very interesting chapter.
I don't know why you started this. I mean, we were close. Just tell me why. Let me go, Slim. No, Keezy's. I mean, it's torture. I hear it everywhere. I don't even know how you can be sitting here with him. Just tell me why, Truman.
That's the great Tom Hollander as Truman Capote.
Who is a revelation in this.
He's extraordinary.
He's incredible.
And it's a murderer's row of actresses here. Diane Lane, Chloe Sevigny, Naomi Watts, Molly Ringwald, Demi Moore, and Calista Flockhart
yes.
play the Swans.
Yeah.
Incredible group of women. I mean, was it a fun experience with these other women?
I mean, it was, first of all, an incredible company to be in. Just, it felt like just elevating to be working with such incredibly talented actors. And Gus Van Sant directed it, Robbie Bates wrote it, and then Ryan Murphy. It was like, it couldn't have been a better thing to have said yes to.
Well, this isn't the only group of fantastic actors that you've been associated with, because you, of course, were a member of what was called the Brat Pack.
Yes.
Back in the 80s. Kind of defined a lot of the young movies of the 1980s. Yeah. Extraordinary group of actors. So many of them still with us. There's going to be a documentary about that.
Yes.
Coming out. What do you think of when you look back at those years, when you guys were first starting out, kind of lumped together as a unit?
I mean, you know, at that time, there weren't really... It was very new to be doing stories about young people. So it was... I don't think any of us really loved the moniker of being called brats because it kind of diminished, you know, our sense of being professionals,
sure.
Which is what the documentary is about. Andrew McCarthy. He's...
You're professionals. He's
gonna,
you're not brats now.
He's going to kill me.
Andy's a brat. Andy, Andrew's a professional. So, exactly.
But it was really, this documentary is an exploration of what and how that affected each of us. Like, Rob, it just rolled off his back. For me, I didn't...
Most things seem to roll off his back.
He's good that way.
Yes.
He is good that way.
Yeah, yeah.
But for Andrew, it really affected him in things and choices he made. So I haven't seen this yet. I'm actually quite excited. I'm sorry that we didn't get a chance to all be in the same room together after all this time.
Well, maybe for the opening.
Hey.
Do you still remember the lyrics to San Elmo's Fire?
No, but I heard that you've been singing.
I'm a man in motion. All I need is a pair of wheels. I forget the next line. San Elmo's Fire. Jimmy, so lovely to meet
you.
Thank you for being on Peel Off.
I know. She's just settled right in.
You're welcome anytime. You don't have to come with her next time.
Here. Shall I set her down so you really see?
Oh. Let's put a coffee cup next to her so you get a sense of the scale here.
Girl.
Guinness Book of World Records, do the right thing. The premiere of Feud, Capote versus the Swans, is out now on Hulu. It's Demi Moore, everybody. Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar: Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar: Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.